Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into the weeds on continuous delivery, or CD, looking at where things stand heading into 2025.
That's right. We've been looking at this analysis from Dave Farley. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, based on feedback from almost 100 organizations and individuals, too.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission today is, well, to figure out where the industry is really nailing CD, you know, and where things are maybe falling short.
And crucially, what can actually be done to improve? How to get better?
Exactly. And the headline from Dave's report really jumped out at me. Better than expected, worse than hoped.
Yeah, that tells you a lot straight away, doesn't it? It's not a simple picture.
Not at all. Lots of nuance.
Definitely. And maybe just quickly for anyone listening who's maybe a bit newer to CD.
Good idea.
Continuous delivery, fundamentally, it just means you're working so your software is always ready to be released.
Always in that releasable state.
Precisely. Maintaining that capability, you know, to release whenever it actually makes sense. Doesn't mean you have to release constantly, just that you can.
Right. The capability is key.
And it takes, well, a mix of things. Technical practices, sure, but also team behaviors,
yeah.
How the organization is set up.
Mm.
Dave looked at 14 key attributes for this.
And it's worth remembering who these contributors were, nearly 100 of them.
Yeah.
They weren't just random developers. They were already kind of familiar with CD concepts, interested in learning more.
So likely a bit ahead of the curve compared to the general population, maybe?
Probably. But what's useful about this kind of assessment is it helps teams, you know, see their strengths, but also pinpoint the gaps, find those opportunities to improve.
Absolutely. A real mirror.
So let's talk numbers. The big picture. The overall average CD maturity score, 53.2%.
Okay. Just over halfway there on average.
Yeah. But what's really encouraging, I think, is the trend. There's been a 5% improvement just in the last 2 years.
Oh, that's actually pretty significant.
It is. It suggests, you know, real investment. Companies are genuinely trying to move the needle on this.
That 5% isn't trivial. And when you break down those scores, you see these distinct groups emerging.
Yeah. Tell us about that segmentation.
Well, you've got a small group at the very top, expert practitioners. That's about 10.7%, scoring 81% or higher. They've really got comprehensive CD nailed.
Elite.
Then the advanced adopters, about 27%, scoring 61 to 80. You know, successful transformations, but maybe not quite fully mature yet.
Still some rough edges.
Right. Then the biggest group, the intermediate majority, that's 32%, scoring 41 to 60.
The largest chunk, right in the middle.
Exactly. Solid foundations, but the implementation isn't quite complete. Below them, you have developing practitioners, around 20%, still tackling fundamental challenges, and then the beginners, just under 10%.
Wow, that distribution really does paint a picture.
It does.
It feels like CD is maturing as a market, doesn't it? The whole early adopter thing feels kind of over.
Yeah, it seems like we're into broader adoption now.
Aww.
Across the board.
Okay, so progress is happening. Let's talk about the good news first, the better than expected part. What are organizations actually getting right?
Well, this is maybe the most striking part. It seems like many organizations have largely solved the cultural and process problem.
Really? Those were the huge blockers just a decade ago.
Exactly. It feels like a massive win. If you've been around a while, you remember endless debates about culture change being the hardest part.
Oh, yeah. Seemed insurmountable sometimes.
And now it seems largely conquered. Maybe too strong a word, but significantly addressed.
That's huge. What specific practices show this?
So three areas consistently scored above 60%. First, pipeline integrity, way up at 67.9%.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
It means people get that what you test has to be what actually goes to production. You know, that fundamental understanding.
Moving past the whole "it works on my machine" nightmare.
Exactly. That headache seems to be fading. Second, autonomous team structure at 61.9%.
So small cross-functional teams.
Yep. Teams with end-to-end responsibility becoming much more the norm, which helps tackle, you know, Conway's law and enables that agility you need for CD.
Right. Structure following strategy.
And third, also at 61.9%, is process discipline.
You mean?
Meaning changes actually flow through defined pipelines consistently,
mm-hmm.
predictably, not just random scripts and chaos.
Okay. So reliability, repeatability, things you absolutely need for frequent, safe deployments.
Couldn't do it without them.
That's genuinely great news. It feels like the industry, or at least this cohort, has really absorbed those core DevOps and Agile lessons.
It does seem that way.
Like throwing code over the wall to ops, that's maybe finally mostly behind us.
For many, yes. A huge cultural shift.
Okay, but then there's the other shoe dropping, the worse than hoped part.
Right. This is where it gets less rosy.
The report talks about a really sharp divide in technical skills, separating the good from the great. They call it a technical skills cliff.
Yeah, a cliff is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because there are these specific technical practices where things just fall off dramatically.
Which ones are the main culprits?
Three really stand out as lagging. First, and this is a big one, trunk-based development. It's only at 35% adoption.
Wow, only 35%. But that's like fundamental for CI, right? Which CD builds on.
Absolutely fundamental. We've been talking about it for decades.
Yeah.
But nope, most places are still using long-lived feature branches.
Which means?
Which means painful merges, integration delays, deployments happen less often, and you don't have clear visibility into what's actually ready to go. The report flags this as the single biggest barrier.
I can almost hear developers groaning about merge conflicts just thinking about it.
Oh, definitely. Days lost to untangling that stuff. Second big laggard, test automation. Only at 41.9%.
Also seems low. CI/CD relies entirely on fast feedback from tests, doesn't it?
Utterly. You need fast, reliable, definitive automated tests to know if your system's okay to release. Without comprehensive automation, you just can't deploy multiple times a day with any confidence. It's impossible.
You're flying blind otherwise.
Pretty much. Hmm. And the third one is complete deployment pipeline, sitting at 47.1%.
So close to half, but still.
Still means over half don't have it fully automated end to end. They might have bits automated, but there are still manual steps, friction points, things that prevent truly smooth, continuous delivery. They need that definitive automation for feedback.
Okay, so trunk-based development, test automation, complete pipeline automation. Those are the big technical hurdles.
And what's really worrying is how they connect. The report points out this correlation crisis.
Correlation crisis sounds ominous.
It is, a bit. It found that 27% of organizations, more than a quarter, struggle with both trunk-based development and effective test automation. They can't do either well.
And that's not a coincidence, you're saying?
Not at all. They reinforce each other, but in a bad way here. Trunk-based development, with everyone merging frequently, absolutely needs strong automated tests to catch issues quickly.
Right. Otherwise, chaos.
But conversely, trying to build and maintain good automated tests across lots of long-lived diverging branches, it's incredibly difficult. What's the true state of this system to test against?
Ah, I see. It's a chicken and egg problem.
Exactly. You need tests for trunk-based, but trunk-based makes testing easier to manage. If you lack both, it's really hard to start improving either one. You're kind of stuck.
Like trying to build a house on quicksand with flimsy tools.
That's a good analogy. Each problem makes the other one worse.
And this trap, this correlation crisis, helps explain why that biggest group, the intermediate plateau.
The 32%.
Yeah. Why they're stuck there. They've done the cultural stuff, the basic process discipline.
The easier bits, arguably.
Right. But they just haven't cracked these harder core technical practices needed for, well, truly continuous delivery.
Precisely. They're strong on process, weaker on the deep engineering skills. And it suggests that just, you know, tweaking things incrementally might not be enough for them.
They need a bigger leap?
Potentially, yeah. Decisive action to break through those technical barriers, not just gradual refinement. It's almost like the main challenge has shifted from organizational psychology to cure technical capability.
Which is a very different kind of problem to solve. Yeah. Okay, so if that intermediate group is struggling, what about the top 10%, the expert?
10.7%, yeah.
What makes them different? Are they just doing more testing or is it something else? What can we learn?
They're strong across the board, really setting the standard. For instance, over 95% of them are doing trunk-based development.
95%. Okay, huge difference there.
Massive.
Yeah.
And they have truly comprehensive test automation, unit integration, end-to-end, the works. Real coverage.
No petting corners on testing.
None. Plus, they've got complete deployment pipeline automation, robust rollback capabilities built in. They're deploying daily, often multiple times a day.
Wow, daily or more.
And, crucially, they have comprehensive observability, monitoring. They know what's happening in production all the time.
So it's the combination of all those advanced practices done consistently well.
Exactly. And they prove it's possible.
Right? Yeah.
These technical challenges, they are solvable.
It's not a pipe dream.
No, but it clearly requires serious, sustained investment in engineering practices, not just tinkering with process diagrams.
And interestingly, the report found no real link to specific technologies or industries.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It seems like good CD practices work well pretty much everywhere. Different tech stacks, different types of software, different business sectors.
That's powerful. It can be done. Okay, so knowing that, the analysis also suggests a path forward, right? A way for organizations stuck on that intermediate plateau to move up.
Yes, a practical three-stage approach.
Walk us through it.
Okay, stage one, build the test automation foundation. Before you even think seriously about trunk-based development, you have to get your automated testing in order.
Comprehensive testing, not just unit tests. Right. Unit, integration, contract tests, automated acceptance tests. Get that solid foundation built. The report stresses this investment pays dividends everywhere else.
Okay. Test automation first. Then what?
Stage two. Transition to trunk-based development. Once you have that safety net of good tests, you can move towards trunk-based much more safely.
How do you start? Just flip a switch.
Probably not overnight for most. The recommendation is to maybe start by aggressively shortening branch lifetimes, like branches that live less than 2 days, maybe even less than one, as a stepping stone to true single trunk.
Makes sense. Gradual transition.
And stage three, complete pipeline automation. Now you focus on eliminating all the manual steps, automated environment provisioning, automated database migrations, reliable automated rollbacks.
The full end-to-end automation.
Exactly. This really stabilizes the whole testing and release process. And it's actually much easier to achieve once you're doing trunk-based development.
Why is that? Because trunk-based inherently simplifies dependency management. You don't have multiple branches depending on conflating versions of libraries or services nearly as often. That headache just goes away, mostly.
Ah, okay. So the stages build on each other logically. Test trunk's trunk pipeline.
Precisely.
So zooming out again, what does all this mean for the software industry as a whole?
Well, it highlights this persistent technical skills gap. Mm-hmm. We've made progress on culture, on process, but the things that really separate the leaders from the pack now, they require deep technical expertise.
Expertise that seems to be lacking in many places.
Unfortunately, yes. Practices like advanced test automation strategies, mastering trunk-based development, building truly complete pipelines, that's sophisticated engineering work.
Which points to some bigger industry challenges, doesn't it? Like education.
Definitely. Computer science programs, coding boot camps. Maybe they need to focus more on these modern engineering practices, not just algorithms and basic coding.
And what about tooling?
Good point. A lot of current CD tools kind of assume a level of expertise that many teams just don't have yet. We probably need tools that make these advanced practices, well, easier to adopt, more accessible.
Lower the barrier to entry.
Right. And finally, it comes down to organizational investment. Companies have to recognize that getting really good at CD isn't just about adopting a process. It's about sustained investment in their technical people and capabilities.
It's not just a tooling problem or a process problem. It's an engineering skills and investment problem.
But the upside is, technical problems are often easier to solve than deep-rooted cultural ones.
That's a good point. We've maybe tackled the harder part already, in a way.
Potentially.
Yeah.
We know how to fix technical issues, generally speaking. It takes effort and investment, but it's doable.
So summing up, the data paints this picture of an industry really in transition.
Yeah.
We're past the early adoption phase. We've knocked down a lot of the big cultural walls. But now we've hit this new plateau, and this one seems defined more by technical hurdles than cultural ones, a different kind of challenge.
Absolutely. And that 5% yearly improvement shows progress is happening, which is good.
Yeah, it's not stalled completely.
No, but the fact that so many organizations are clustered in that intermediate range suggests that just doing more of the same isn't going to cut it for a breakthrough.
You need something more decisive.
Exactly. Focused, significant investments in those core technical practices. Testing, trunk-based, pipelines, that seems key. Technologists need perhaps a clearer vision, a more effective mindset, which, you know, the whole CD philosophy grounded in modern software engineering can really provide.
And maybe a final thought for you, our listener, to chew on.
Yeah.
The organizations that do manage to climb this technical skills cliff, they're likely going to gain some pretty serious competitive advantages.
Oh, undoubtedly. Faster delivery, better quality, more resilience, ability to respond to change. It's a huge edge.
So the question really isn't whether continuous delivery actually works.
No, the top 10% prove that it absolutely does.
The real question is, will the industry make those necessary technical investments to get past this intermediate plateau, to really grasp the full promise of CD?
That's the million-dollar question right now.
We encourage you to think about what this means for you, your team, your organization, and keep exploring these ideas. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.